This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
8 degrees with a wind chill. Westwood winds about 11 miles per hour.
11.
And I just want to throw 11 in there. 11 sounded a lot like 10 to 11. 10, just saying 10 wasn't enough. And 86% chance of precipitation. And again, kickoff conditions driven by classic Chevy of Menor. But we take a brief reprieve here from Brown Steelers to talk with one of our favorite Thursday guests here of college football news. The great Pete Futek joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Pete.
Oh, my God. It's like the worst weather. I grew up in Minneapolis, so I know what like 40 below feels like. There's no colder weather than being at a football game that's 34-ish degrees outside. It's not cold enough to snow it. Maybe there's a little light rain or something that just – you just never get warm at games like that.
Yeah, so as a Midwesterner, I'm going to need to warn you that you're about to lose your Midwest privileges by saying 34 is too cold.
Yay, everything – the entire world should be revolving around sporting events in Las Vegas, San Diego, and Miami. I am absolutely good with that. I'm more than happy. I've put in my time. I've earned my stripes here.
If only we had a discussion every day about whether or not to put a dome in this city.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I guess. You know, it's – hey, look, again, Minneapolis, I grew up with a dome, so I get it. But I digress. But look, to the overall point, by the way, big plus that for the college football playoff, pretty much all the – it's been said that all the home teams are going to play at their home sites. They're not taking these to a neutral site or a dome game or anything like this. So – any Big Ten team that does play in a, you know, adverse weather environment or a Notre Dame or something, yeah, you might get the elements in a late December as opposed to, you know, like the Indianapolis Dome or whatever like that.
Well, so, Pete, I'm glad you brought that up because, and we'll get to Ohio State and Indiana in a second, but like the conversation this past week was revolving around what happens when SEC teams go to these Big Ten sites, because the SEC teams, they haven't had to deal with 35-degree weather. We talk about Tua all the time in the NFL. Tua cannot play in cold weather. He doesn't win in games under 45 degrees. There's got to be someone like a Carson Beck, for instance, that just can't play in cold weather.
Most of these teams can't do it. And, you know, and try the warm weather teams from California and stuff. But you always see that. There was one bowl game I'm completely whiffing on. It was in the mid-2000s where Miami literally went from, it was 80 and beautiful in Coral Gables, to play it like a pinstripey type of bowl where it was like 14 degrees in New York City. And they just, you could see after a quarter, they're like, we want nothing to do with this game. And that's a factor. You know, for some of these ACC games that get played in Pitt and places like that late. Yeah, it is a factor. So, I mean, who knows? You know, hopefully it's nice. Hopefully weather conditions aren't the deciding factor. I always kind of think that kind of stinks when, you know, you have it's determined by, you know, 50-mile-an-hour winds or something like that. But yeah, it's got to be a factor if, like, an Ole Miss has to come to Penn State or something like that for the first round of the playoff.
Pete Futek, college football news in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I mean, we got a Donnybrook, couple top 10 Big Ten teams, but Ohio State, Indiana, the whole shebang. But my coworker Anthony Lima, he's a Buckeye alum, he also hates the Buckeyes, says Indiana is a fake top 5 team. Agree or disagree, sir?
Yeah, but who cares? You know, it's the greatest year in the school's history. I mean, they've got it. They're there, and the sweetest gig, by the way, is to be the 11-1 team that doesn't have to play in a conference championship. Because now, if you're Indiana and you lose this, and let's start with this: this talk that, oh, if Indiana loses 65-3, they're out. No. They're not going to leave out an extra Big Ten, an 11-1 Big Ten team. They might not get a home game. They might be like a 10 seed. But if they're just slightly respectable, and Ohio State goes on to win this, beat Michigan and beat Oregon and be the number one seed, they're going to be like, hey, look, their one loss is at number one Ohio State. It's fine. And so, yeah, but who cares? You know, you're Ohio State. And, you know, think about this from – I know Ohio State's so stressed and, like, everything's just a lot right now. But think about how awesome this is if you're a Buckeye fan potentially here. Like, look, Michigan might not go to a bowl game. If they whiff this week, which they probably won't do, but, you know, they still got to get bowl eligible. And now, crazy enough, the Indiana game actually is a bigger deal. Well, obviously, Ohio State fans just want to beat Michigan and bury them by 70. But in a million years, did we ever think that Indiana would be the biggest game on the schedule for Ohio State? And as it turns out, yeah. But it's a great team. They don't miss. They don't make mistakes. They don't screw up themselves. They don't commit penalties. They don't turn the ball over. They block and tackle well. They've got a really, really sound team. But Indiana has not dealt with anything like this Ohio State defense. And what kind of stops the offenses like this to get, you know, make big plays in space? It's having Caleb Downs, having secondary guys who can tackle. So I do think this is where the Ohio State defense rises up. And I think this is where Will Howard finally starts to get a little more credit for being really kind of good this season. And I think he has a very good game, even if it's not statistically great. I think he's going to play really well.
Does the offensive line concern you? They just lost their center now. He's out for the rest of the season. They've been banged up all on that offensive line all year long already. Like, at some point, you got to say uncle there.
Yeah, how can you not? I mean, that's where and Indiana brings the heat. In this game, watch out for it's not the worst thing in the world where, you know, this is where social media will get on Will Howard. Oh, he threw that pass away, or, you know, he ate it and took a sack. Or something. That's not a bad thing, because this Indiana defense is really creative in ways they pressure the pass. So what do you do if you're Ohio State and you have an offensive line that's a real big question mark? You start bashing away. You just start pounding, and eventually the dam will break. Don't get cute. Don't try to do anything, you know, funky with your passing game and blocking schemes. You're going against a defensive front that knows what it's doing. So you just line up. Your offensive line is stronger than their defensive line, and just keep pounding away. And it might not be pretty, but it should be effective midway through the third quarter.
Pete, I know Kurt Cignetti just got the contract extension there. I think it was like doubling his salary or something like that. Is there any way this guy can make this last at Indiana, considering it's such a historical anomaly?
I think I told you this before. Like, normally, I am completely against ever giving a head coach a contract extension. It doesn't work. Eventually, you're going to give up bad paper. It's just a bad deal. Anytime you have a big win, oh, let's add three more years to this guy's contract. It doesn't work, Jimbo Fisher. But, like, if you're Indiana and you've never won at football, yeah, I get it. Give this guy a shot. I was there. You know, I went. I've mentioned this a million times. I went to Wisconsin before in the Don Morton era. I was there when Barry Alvarez took over. That you can see how one guy in a mindset can change an entire school and how it operates in a sport like this where, yeah, I mean, they're never going to get the five stars like Ohio State will get. But you can have a program and a style that, okay, if you're going to a bowl game every year and you created interest in a sport that there was zero interest in ever since now, yeah, he's worth the money.
Pete, I've told you before how long I've been listening to do like radio hits across the country and everything, and I go back to, you know, 670 in Chicago listening to do hits on Boers and Bernstein. But what I've always loved about you is that you will amuse the unconventional. And I feel like I'm that way as well, sometimes to a detriment. But I think they lost me between Lane Kiffin revealing some coaches don't want to play in the SEC title game, and then whatever that was Joey Galloway was spinning out there where you should just not even play your court.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Quarterback, if you're Indiana, because that will help you out long term. Like, are we taking the conversations a bridge too far here?
Yeah, that one's a little. I'm not going to dog that group or anything, but there is not exactly an Algonquin round table of college football minds on that show. I get where he was going because, like, last year at this time, remember, Florida State was rolling. All you had to do if you were Florida State was not play Jordan Travis against North Alabama. And one injury, and all of a sudden, the entire program collapsed and it has not recovered. So I get his point a little bit, but you're not, come on. It's Indiana football. You're undefeated. How about trying to beat Ohio State? Because it could happen. I mean, look, right day, right time. If this thing works, if you're Cignetti, you can't, we forget when Cignetti took this job, it's kind of lost. We all blew it off. Where Cignetti in his initial press conference says, "We're going to beat Michigan. We're going to beat Ohio State. We're going to," and it was like, "Ah, ha, ha, very funny." And dude's doing it. So I get it. That was a little bit crazy. But no, yeah, you play, obviously, you play all your guys right now. But we are going to get to a point where if you are locked into a college football playoff spot, pretty much, yeah, you might want to start thinking about resting people up and getting everyone healthy for what's coming in 3 weeks.
Pete, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy this slobber knocker between Indiana and Ohio State. Another great weekend of college football, buddy. Appreciate you.
Later, guys.
Pete Fucek, college football news there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So it's not that I think Lima's wrong. It's just a year where I think you could make a case that 99% of the top 15 aren't top five teams.
Yeah, and a lot of the teams that you don't like right now or the teams that you're doubtful of, like you look at the schedules, a lot of the teams have not played great teams in general.
Yeah, this feels like – so the first year we had four playoff teams, I remember thinking there actually are five playoff teams.
Yeah, it was a battle.
And because you kind of loosen your idea of what that is – and so that was us kind of broadening our mind on what a playoff team is. This is not that. There's no traditional, like, oh, you got to go through Georgia. Oh, you got to go through Ohio State. Like, even Ohio State and Oregon, as seen as dominant as they are, they have weaknesses, which only makes the next 2 months that more interesting. But, like, yeah, do I think Indiana is truly a great team?
No,
I don't know that they have the same kind of talent, but this year it does seem like talent isn't the only thing that matters, even when it comes to the most talented, the 1% of 1%.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how Indiana does, though. Like, if we're just trying to figure out exactly how fraudulent they are, if you believe that they are fraudulent, this week will tell you what you need to know.
And if you really want to see chaos, Indiana beating Ohio State at football would be objectively hilarious,
Does Ryan Day make it to even coach Michigan?
Yes, he does. Okay. That great stuff again with Pete Fucek. When we come back to the Browns and Steelers, we'll get you to lines and odds, and then Doran Dickerson of the Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh next on 92.3 The Fan. Real quick, which one of those do you like best?
Well, it's interesting that it's coming down, by the way. The line is coming down a little bit. It was at 38, 37, now 36.5. People really do think that's going to be low-scoring game today.
So they're hearing our kickoff conditions at the top of every hour. That's what it is.
I'm scaring them. I'm like, the wind is there. It's cold weather. This thing's going to be a running game.
It's the Nick and JP impact. And Lines and Odds brought to you by Original Steaks and Hoagies from Philly to the land. When you want the most authentic cheesesteak, it can only be the Original Steaks and Hoagies. And now we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We are talking Browns and Steelers with a member of the Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan, Doran Dickerson, famous Pitt tight end as well, now joining us. Doran, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. How's the weather right there right now? I mean, I know it's going to get, I guess it's going to snow, then it's going to rain, then it's going to come together. What's the weather like right now, and what can people prepare for if they're heading to the game tonight?
So we're about 15 minutes down the road, and I can see snow out the front door of the bar here. So I believe that's telling you where we are right now.
Like you guys were saying just before I came on, it's probably going to be a run-heavy game tonight. It's going to be a true AFC North matchup.
Did you like these kind of games as a player, or is that all BS when players say they love playing in this kind of weather?
I loved it. I mean, it just reminded you of being a kid, and it was like backyard football. And, you know, your mind is moving at the fast level of NFL pace, but you know, everybody else is kind of just trying to get their footing, and you're trying to see, you know, how somebody's going to cut that they're not able to cut. It was kind of fun for me, and you know, I like playing the cold weather games. I'm from Pittsburgh originally and then went to Pitt, so I'm used to cold weather ever since I was little, and yeah, I loved it. I think that a game like this tonight is going to be exciting in a way. I don't know if there's not going to be that many points scored, but I think it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be a fun matchup, at least for Pittsburgh fans.
I might be too zeroed in on one aspect of the game that might not even impact it at all, but I like, will they use Justin Fields the way that the Saints used Taysom Hill last week and kind of exposed a lot of the Browns as far as the running elements, or is it just not going to be a reality?
You know what? That's a good point, because that's something that we've been discussing all week. And, you know, I'm anticipating Justin Fields getting over at least 6 to 7 snaps. And the Steelers haven't been very good at all in the red zone, and they need some red zone offense. And they can't complete the ball down there. I mean, on first down, they're bad. On second down, they're bad underneath Russell Wilson. But whenever in the first 6 games of the season, Justin Fields was very, very good in the red zone whenever he was a starting quarterback before Russell Wilson went in there. So they used him twice last game against the Ravens in very, very crucial moments. And I expect them to use him in the red zone just to get this red zone offense moving, get this red zone offense scoring some points. And Justin Fields can do that with the read option. And, you know, not only is he a threat clearly with his legs, but he can throw the ball. It's not like he's a wildcat quarterback. So, as you guys do know, and I think he's going to get used a decent amount, not a crazy amount, because you want to get Russell Wilson going in the red zone and you want to get his numbers up. But Justin Fields gives you that element that you can actually have a high productive night in the red zone. So I see them using him a lot, at least in that area.
Dorn, I got to ask you, the Russell Wilson hype video for this game came up on my timeline. It does use Phil Collins in the air tonight, which is undefeated in hype videos. But other than that, it was pretty cringy. I'll ask you, are Russ's hype videos seen as cheesy in Pittsburgh, or do Steeler fans love them?
I think that the Steeler fans love them. I mean, you know, it's only cheesy whenever you're not winning. And that's how Pittsburgh operates, right? You know, if you're not winning, it's cheesy. If you're winning, hey, we love you. You know, that's just how Pittsburgh has operated forever. And I think a lot of cities operate that way, right? So everybody's on the Russell Wilson train right now, and they'll stay on that train as long as he's bringing W's to Pittsburgh. But I personally don't find them as cheesy. You know, I mean, that's just who he is. I know, knowing him a little bit personally and knowing how he operates, he is a good guy, and you know, he's the ultimate teammate. He wants to win. He knows how to win. So, hey, if that's what you put out there, and that gives us the W's, man. Hey, do what you got to do as long as you're producing. So, I think that's the mentality around here as well.
So the first couple games with Russ, you saw a definitive improvement in the passing game, specifically the deep balls. The last two games, the stats don't look as good. The Baltimore game was obviously through the air. Any concern that could be on a downward trajectory heading into the stretch run in football, or is that just kind of seen as a momentary blip?
I look at the last two games, and you got to think that they're playing better opponents than they have in the previous games whenever Russell Wilson did start. So you're playing the Commanders after a bye week in Washington. Jaden Daniels and, you know, Dan Quinn, they had things going. They have a pretty decent defense. So you figure out, all right, like, do we really need to go push it in the offensive aggression direction? Or do we just need to come out of here with a win? So in my opinion, like the first, you know, game that we're talking about in Washington and the last game against the Ravens, I think that their identity and their mindset as the Steelers on offense was, let's get out of here with a win. Let's try to control the game, running the football. You know, hey, if we're gonna take what the defense gives us, we're not gonna force anything, and sometimes it just doesn't bounce your way. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities clearly left on the field for Russell Wilson, but I look at those two wins as big wins, and to me, it doesn't really matter how you win the game and what the stats look like as long as you win, and they've really set themselves up in a good position in the AFC North right now by winning those football games. But I don't see a decline with Russ. I think that, you know, he'll find it again at some point. I don't know, necessarily think that's going to be tonight with the weather and how that is going to affect the game, but I don't see a decline in Russ and, you know, any setback from Russell Wilson just because of two games that didn't look great on the stat sheet.
Doran, we both know that Miles is never going to be beloved in any sort of way in Pittsburgh, especially after the helmet incident. It's just never going to happen. But did he kick the hornet's nest this week, or was this the type of thing, it's just like you look at it and you're like, how was that perceived in Pittsburgh?
Well, I don't know if he kicked the hornet's nest of those fans in Pittsburgh, but he definitely kicked the queen bee, and that's T.J. Watt. So, you know, tonight, God bless Jameis Winston, because T.J. Watt is, he's trying to play with a chip on his shoulder tonight. So a lot of people are, you know, the feathers are ruffled a little bit here in Pittsburgh with what Myles Garrett did say, but I think that T.J. Watt's taking it a little bit more personal than anybody that's going to be watching or attending the game with black and gold on tonight. And T.J. Watt is going to be—he's going to go try to show his worth definitely tonight. So, God bless Jameis Winston and the Cleveland Brown offensive line, because T.J. Watt is coming after him.
I will say I often call T.J. Watt a B. Doran, would this be an embarrassing loss for the Steelers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And no offense, because I like you guys and I like Cleveland. I have family in Cleveland. But yeah, it's just, you know, from top to bottom, you just honestly, Cleveland just can't get out of their own way. And if you're a good football team, you don't tell people you're a good football team. You show people you're a good football team. And the Steelers claim to be very good. They want to be talked about in the realm of the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills in the AFC, and talked about making a run for it this year. If that's what you're saying, you got to show it. And good teams beat teams like tonight that, have backup quarterbacks and don't really know what direction they're going in. No offense, but that's just the outlook here in Pittsburgh. So it would be an embarrassing loss, especially coming off of two big wins, and especially on Sunday against the Ravens, where you could really separate yourself if you get this win, if you're the Steelers tonight.
You know, just being the football guy that you are, I got to ask you then about Stefanski. Do you feel like the Browns, they should move on off of Stefanski, or should they take a Steelers approach where it's like you just give him a lot of years and let him figure it out?
I think he's a hell of a coach. Like, I just think his hands are tied. Like, I mean, it just seems like that, you know, any coach that really comes in, isn't set up for success. I think he's a great coach. I think they should ride with him, but, like, his hands are kind of tied behind his back, right? I mean, you know, obviously the quarterback situation, I know you guys talk about it all the time, but, you know, what's the fantasy supposed to do? Look what he did last year whenever Joe Flacco went in there. I mean, Joe Flacco went in there and, you know, they won games. That's coaching. That's, you know, his offense being, you know, potent and getting guys together and rallying guys. I think he's a heck of a coach. If it were me, I'm sticking with him because I think he's a good man for the job, and he just has his hands tied behind his back, and sometimes he just can't do anything whenever you're standing there like that and you just can't use your arms.
Doran Dickerson, The Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike Tomlin is 0-7 against AFC North foes on Thursday Night Football. What should we make of that stat, Doran?
Yeah, we were talking about that too this morning. I mean, that's very interesting, and his record in primetime and Monday night games is really good, and he's kind of stuck to that trend. So it depends on how you guys are feeling about the Browns wanting to win. Like, I mean, what's the feel there? Like, that's what I would, if I were a Browns fan, does Myles Garrett want to win this game? Does Jameis Winston want to win this game? Does Nick Chubb? I think Nick Chubb definitely does. I mean, I'm pretty sure he has a chip on his shoulder from what happened, last year in this game. So, does Jerry Jeudy, do the players want to win this football game? Are they still in it? Like, is the locker room still like, hey, we can go out here and play some good football? I think that's what it comes down to, because if they're not, then the Steelers will definitely take advantage of that, and they'll go out there and win the football game, and that stat of Mike Tomlin on Thursday nights will just go out the window.
Doran, we got about 45 seconds here. Are they legitimate Super Bowl contenders this year?
Yes, and it's not just about, I think, the Steelers. It's about looking around, and it's looking at the Ravens. It's looking at the Texans, it's looking at the Bills, it's looking at the Chiefs, obviously. Like, whenever you watch those games, and, you know, I try to be honest with myself, I'm like, do I see the Steelers being able to compete with these teams and what they're doing? And I say yes. Like, I mean, with the way the Steelers play on defense, you have Russell Wilson, who's been there before. He's a veteran, led quarterback. He knows, you know, how to play the game and how to play at a high level. And you have the best special teams unit in the NFL. So you're the most complete, balanced team. Right next to Kansas City in the AFC. So, I think they have a legit shot to compete with the Buffalo Bills and Kansas Cities of the world.
Doran, great stuff. I wish the city itself nothing good, same with the Steelers. But to you, I wish you all the success, buddy. Great stuff.
Likewise. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you so much. Doran Dickerson there of 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We'll react to what he had to say about this game. course, he's part of NFL on Prime, part of Thursday Night Football, so we'll pick his brain on this Browns-Steelers game. But we just had Doran Dickerson on of the Fan Morning Show in Pittsburgh, and I was glad to hear him confirm that Yinzer Nation will take this one hard if the Browns win this game.
Yeah, I also thought it was really interesting in talking about Myles Garrett basically poking the bear with T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way he described it, because we talked about it earlier. It's not Myles Garrett versus T.J. Watt. It ends up being, Myles Garrett against the offensive line, and then T.J. Watt against the Browns offensive line. Jameis Winston might have to end up hurting because of that.
Yeah, Jameis was probably going to hurt regardless. You know what I mean? Like, I think Jameis was just going to – I think this idea of T.J. Watt has extra motivation, you'd have to be a real sociopath. You're 8-2. T.J. always gets up for these games, so I'm not all that convinced I have any extra to worry about. It's T.J. Watt. I worry extra regardless.
Yeah, which I guess, I mean, it's very fair. I'm not saying that's not. It's very fair. I just think it's interesting that they've now been talking about it all week. We've all been talking about it all week. And T.J. Watt is probably going to feel like, even in a blowout, he's going to try to make his name heard.
Oh, is T.J. big mad? Oh, poor T.J. He didn't get the Defensive Player of the Year. What a baby. God.
Like, you know these, like, football players. They got to find some reason to get up and some reason to go ahead and play out of their mind.
If I was a future Hall of Fame football, this is like LeBron quitting social media the other day. You don't have to tell us. Like, who,
like,
gives,
just do it?
Who gives a damn if 10 people
LeBron
call
LeBron
might
you? Have to actually tell us these things, but, though. If not, but, people would be like, where'd you go, LeBron?
Well, no, but the point is, like, who cares? Who cares if people think you're a liar? You're LeBron James. Who cares if Myles Garrett's got beef with you because you started it? Like, that, you can't get mad about beef that you started by being a baby hippopotamus. You're Moo Dang, basically. Like, you're out here. What a baby.
Did you call him Moo Dang?
Yeah. Isn't that what the little hippopotamus's name is?
I'm just impressed you got a hippopotamus's name off the top of your head.
Well, no, because it was the internet sensation. Here's a rascible little son of a gun.
What am I missing? Is this like
you haven't seen Moo Dang?
No. I'm not. I guess I'm not on the internet enough. Is this a Harambe thing, but
yeah,
for hippos?
Yeah, except he's alive.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Harambe is the most
like
famous.
Like, Harambe was a celebration of
gone.
A gorilla's death.
Yeah.
Moo Dang is the celebration of a hippo's life. Because he's just a
but
little
he's still
cuss.
Living. He's still living.
He's just a little cuss.
Is this like the elephants that can paint? Is this a novelty act? Is this what this is?
Yeah, every animal bit that becomes famous is a novelty act.
Well, what's
right?
his hook outside of just being a hippopotamus?
His hook is he's irascible. He's just he'll like the trainer. What's the zoo person will put him in water and they'll be like, I hate water. And he'll get out of it and he'll go over and try and bite the zookeeper's knee.
It's this hippo that hates everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little bleep. He's
a
little jerk.
I love that there's a hippo that hates everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hungry, hungry hippos. They're not like
he's
compassionate, sensitive, nice hippos.
Well,
it's,
I will say,
hungry, hungry hippos for a reason.
He's an angry, angry hippo. He's going to have to be put down early.
I mean, they're supposed
to be. He's got an attitude
they're
problem.
They're supposed to be killers, those
but
hippos.
But it's cute when they're children. Much like humans, like when you have an attitude problem when you're a little kid, it's so cute.
Funniest thing in the world.
And then when they grow up and like, God, this guy's a D. It's like,
what happened to you?
Okay, I mean, it's kind of par for the course here. But yeah, that's Moo Dang.
Okay. That doesn't sound good, though, because hippos, as we've established, are very deadly.
I mean,
T.J. Watt is now a hippo. He's very deadly.
I've watched every... Okay, we've taken it too far.
Okay, that's where we go. Okay, I want to know
I'm saying that he's an irascible baby hippo. I mean, it's not like he's one of the, like, you know, killer hippos out there on the Serengeti.
If T.J. Watt sacks anybody tonight, we need hippo gifts sent to @NickWilsonSays, like you would not believe.
I mean, listen, I put on a few pounds. You can send hippo gifts anyways. Oh. Let's get to the quarterback comparison brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Wing Tuesday, Boneless Thursday, Happy Hour, and Late Night. There's no comparison to B-dubs. So this is a question I was thinking about. Is Russell Wilson a huge upgrade over Jameis Winston at this point in their respective careers?
No. I think it's going to surprise people, but I don't think it's a huge upgrade. I think both are going to be – what their skill set is right now is both going to be rendered useless today anyway. If the weather is as bad as it is, and maybe I'm just overplaying the weather side of this, Nick, but if it's as bad as it is, I'm expecting a lot of runs. And we talked about Nick Chubb a lot too, by the way. My Vegas people are all in on Jerome Ford props like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, wow, that's insulting.
Like, they are heavy into Jerome Ford's going to get a lot of action
tonight. You know why? Because they don't want you to take Nick Chubb props. That's how I'm reading it.
You think my friends in the desert are swerving people away from all the Nick Chubb props?
Hey, don't look over there at Chubbland. Go here, buy yourself a Ford. That's what they're thinking. I'm not buying it. I'm going heavy on Nick Chubb just to spite your friends in the desert.
They are heavy on Jerome Ford tonight.
But I think it's interesting what you're talking about because, I mean, I think in a way – the reason Russ is the quarterback right now is the moon ball. And the only reason Jameis is the quarterback right now is also the moon ball.
Right. The two things they do that will keep them employed for the rest of the season is the thing that basically it's nullified tonight.
And I actually kind of think that the moon ball being eliminated limited for Jameis might keep Jameis upright in this game. Because I think you're going to do a lot of misdirection stuff. I think you're going to focus heavy on the run. So whereas, like, last year, you know, you were playing from behind. And I mean, Kevin just dropped Deshaun back time and time again. It became predictable that on third and medium, all right, Deshaun's dropping back. It became almost predictable, but almost too easy for Watt and Highsmith. I know Highsmith is still dealing with injuries, but they've got Herbig, they've got Watt, they've got Preston Smith. Like, even without Alex Highsmith, they're still three or four deep in really good edge rushers.
Well, and the fact that we don't even know who the left tackle is going to be for the Browns.
Well, it doesn't really matter at this point because it's not DeJuan Jones. Is there really a difference between Jermaine Ifedi and Jedrick Wills?
Well, Jedrick Wills is out, but I think there is a difference between Jermaine Ifedi and Jedrick Wills.
I think Jermaine plays through the whistle. I think that's the difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say positive or negative. Yeah. I just said I think there might be a difference.
But to what you're saying, it is kind of a shame that weather's going to nullify the moonshot because this could kind of be sneaky fun.
A great game just from like an entertainment standpoint. If you watch Russ, because they really want to see Russ swerve into this idea that the difference between him and Justin Fields is throwing the ball deep. And then we know what Jameis does. I'm kind of destroyed for Jameis that –
He's not going to get destroyed tonight.
His numbers aren't going to be great tonight. And we're going to have to come back tomorrow.
Guy.
You know I am. And we're going to come back tomorrow. And we're going to be like, oh, well, Jameis, all right, faced the number one defense a few weeks ago, and he turtled. Faced the number two defense last night. Wasn't great. And it's just going to continue on the trend with Jameis.
So you're just upset that Jameis is who he is and he's not a very
good
quarterback?
I take it personally at this point anytime Jameis looks good or doesn't look good.
Is it because you just want to stave off Zappy or DTR for as long as you can?
I will never. I told you this, and I'm going to have you hold me to this. I will never call for DTR. I will never call for Bailey Zappy. And if Jameis puts me in a spot where I have to, I'm going to be beside myself.
I don't really want to get here because that sounds miserable for both of us and for the fans. It's part of me that kind of wants it to happen. You know,
no.
It's kind of like when
you don't want that.
Like, oh, this guy would never take a dive in boxing, and it takes a dive, and you're like, okay, we saw the spot in the armor there. That's kind of what I want to see now. As your friend.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
I will say this. I would expect at least one turnover from Jameis today, maybe two turnovers, even with not throwing the ball a lot. This is a really rough matchup for him.
Can I put the exclamation point on how sad of a game this is going to be offensively?
Sure.
I legitimately was wondering if the kicker situation is going to be like what makes or breaks this entire game. Boswell has missed one kick all year. He's 29-30. Hopkins couldn't hit a 25-yarder last week.
Isn't Boswell just the case for kickers that if you hold on to a kicker for long enough, he might get kind of good? Like, Boswell's not been a great kicker, right? He's not been Justin Tucker.
I mean, he's missed one kick all year, though. This
year,
he's been
really good.
Well,
yeah, but this year, all of a sudden, he's Justin Tucker, and Justin Tucker's Chris Boswell.
My big memory of him is on the Thursday night game a couple years ago, the David Njoku big Steelers game a couple years ago. Boswell was missing kicks left and right.
Yeah, can we sign up for that? Because I think I don't know what's going on with Dustin Hopkins, but I kind of feel like that could be part of this, too. He's going very Justin Tucker.
It's not great.
That is a quarterback comparison brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Tuesday, Boneless Thursday, happy hour, and late night. There's no comparison to B-dubs.
That's how sad this is. We turn the quarterback comparison, which is usually like the best part of the pregame stuff, into a kicker comparison.
With
the weather.
And I think we did a Browns running back comparison. And I think we did a Jermaine Ifedi, Jed Wills comparison. There are a lot of comparisons just within that small amount of time.
We did it.
We did it. We've accomplished it. Here we are.
We also did a hippo comparison.
That's true. T.J. Watt is a big hippo baby.
Is T.J. Watt just the hungry, hungry hippo?
Yeah. No, come on. Put some respect on that name, Mudang.
Yeah, sure.
I'm the more I say it, the more I'm having fun. is Russell Wilson a huge upgrade over Jameis at this point in their careers? We've already gotten a gif in. Sorry, meme in at Nick Wilson says at Jay Peterlin. When we come back, Andrew Whitworth, Super Bowl winning left tackle, joins Afternoon Drive. And the quarterback comparison next on 92.3 The Fan.